Hello and welcome to the Daily Reprieve, where we provide essay speaker meetings, workshops, and conferences in podcast format. We are an ad-free podcast. If you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by going to donate.thedailyreprieve.com and drop a dollar or two into the virtual basket. Please consider donating monthly by clicking the Donate Monthly button. However, one-time donations are always welcome. Just click the Donate Now button. Now, without further ado, this episode of The Daily Reprieve.
Welcome to this session on H&I Committee, that's Hospitals and Institutions Committee meeting. My name is Jim, and I'm a recovering sexaholic.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, everybody. I'll be facilitating this session. I'm joined by Jason, and he will help also. Each of us will share our recovery on the topic. Then we will take time to answer questions. Questions will be taken in the Ask It basket. And let me just stop right there. I'm going to vary away from this a little bit. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to talk a little bit about H&I, and then I'm going to ask a few people that I know that have experience with H&I to come and share about how H&I operates in their particular area. And then we'll take questions from anybody else, or have anybody else that has experienced Strength and Hope with H&I or wants to know anything. We'll take questions and hopefully you'll come away with knowing a little bit more. And I do have some handouts for protocols for H&I meetings, and I'll talk about those in a minute. In the spirit of the fifth tradition to carry this message, this is a recorded session. The recording equipment will not be turned off during the session. We ask that you please silence all cell phones. Let's open with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you very much. So I'll go ahead and start. Again, I'm Jim Burnett, and I became a member of the H&I committee in 2015 when I was elected a trustee in Chicago. The H&I committee had been kind of dormant, and it had a resurgence at that meeting in Chicago, and Carl N. was the chairman, and I decided that's something that I had interest in, is spreading the message to hospitals and institutions and other organizations about SA. And let me tell you just a little bit of basic. This is my interpretation of what we do. And I did help write the mission statement. But the H&I committee, we spread the message of SA to hospitals, institutions, churches, mental health centers, psychologists, mental health professionals, everybody that might come in contact with a person that's struggling with sex addiction, to let them know about SA so they can refer their patients and clients to SA. And that's basically what we do. And like I said, anybody like that, we do not, but it's not, I mean, there's no hard and fast rules. PI, public information, usually, and CFC deals directly with the sexaholic or the sex addict to tell them about SA. And we don't so much, although we're more than willing, if we're doing an informational session and somebody comes from the audience and says, you know what, I think I got this deal. I mean, we're going to say, yeah, okay, come on. We're going to tell them all about where the meetings are and everything like that. But our primary focus is to spread our message to the mental health professionals or the helping professionals that are working with sexaholics. Okay? So we want everybody to know that we are a resource for them to refer to. And that's our purpose. I've got Dennis Would you pass out? And then when you wake up, will you hand out these?
Yes, I will.
So what I'm handing out here, I can send to you electronically if you let me know your email. I'm just an old-timey guy, and I like hard copies. You know, that's just me. That tells what generation I come from. But this tells you basically everything you need to know to hold an H&I meeting. And I'm just going to go through it quickly with you. First page. Have y'all ever tuned to the promotional video at our website that speaks about SA and where the beginnings of it and everything? Have y'all seen that? No? Well, this is the text from that, and it just talks about addictions and how SA was formed and the history of Sexaholics Anonymous and stuff like that. So it's just general information that's meant to be for the public or for the helping professional so they can read and learn about what SA is. And that's the first page. And the second page is telling kind of the format for how you would hold an H&I meeting. And you would read this and say who you are and share a little bit about SA. And then when you hold an H&I meeting, you would go with somebody else for sure. Don't go alone. I mean, if you have an audience or if you have an appointment with a mental health professional or a mental health, maybe ideally, a group practice and they're going to put you in on their business meeting or something and give you a few minutes to tell the more than one person that works there about SA. And so you do some readings just like it says and it tells you what to say and it tells you, you know, to read something, maybe the SA purpose or the solution or the problem. Or what's a sexaholic? What's a sexual sobriety? Some readings. You do some readings like you're holding a regular essay meeting. And then you would share your quick, you know, not too detailed, not too graphic, but a brief about your story, you know? And then if you had another panel member, I mean, another person or two or three with you, they would share also. And then, and basically you open up, for questions, and that's it. It's kind of like a meeting, but you know it's not. I mean, because everybody, they're not sexaholics in the meeting, and it's informational, but you're kind of showing them what a meeting, a little bit what a meeting looks like, and what a sexaholic looks like, and so that's kind of the deal. Now let me tell you this. If you are a person that holds tightly to your anonymity, maybe you're not the person to go to a mental health professional's office or to a group practice or to somewhere and talk about it because you're going to need to kind of break your anonymity while you're there to tell them, hey, I'm a sexaholic and I'm in recovery and I want to tell you about how I found recovery. And so, you know, You need to keep that in mind too. I don't know about you people that are listening here, whether y'all hold tightly to your anonymity. If you do, that's fine. I don't. I'm really transparent. I need to work on my boundaries maybe, but anyway. But you need to find somebody kind of like me that's willing to say, you know what, man, I did this and I did that and I was suffering and something happened and I found recovery and I have a much better life, da da da. You know, you should be able to do that, to feel comfortable doing that to people that are not sexaholics. And I mean, you might ask them to please don't share my name with what I say. I mean, you could, but there's no, there are no really pledges of confidentiality. I mean, you have to be willing. And that's sometimes that precludes some people from being on your team. And sometimes it doesn't. In Memphis, we have gone to alcohol and drug treatment centers. And my sponsor and other people have told me, said, if you ever go to an AA meeting and you can throw, if you throw a rock at an AA meeting, you're probably going to hit a sexaholic.
Maybe two or three.
You've only got one rock though.
So we have found a treatment center that's open to us, and they'll allow us to come into a group setting where there are a room full of people that are in treatment for alcohol and drug addiction, and that's a really good place to spread the message. But that's kind of like more to the individual, and I've been talking to you about this, but we had to do it with the staff before they would let us bring it to the clients. But that's just another thing. I have spoken with a teacher that teaches an addictions in the psychology department at a university, teaches in a course on addiction. And so I've been able to go to him and to the class of the students that are, you know, taking the course and tell them about SA through this protocol, through this right here. And that's been helpful. So there's several ideas, and I'm gonna hush now, and I'm gonna start with Jason and let Jason tell you about how H&I works for him or with him or in his area and his maybe some special interests that he has.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. My name's Jason. Sober sexaholic from Australia. Thanks for that, Jim. So I've been involved in H&I since I was about 20-something years old. When I was about 21 years old, I've been in AA since I was about 15, and I've been very passionate about carrying the message to the public. I started out in a little town called Bathurst in New South Wales. Near Orange in Australia, and I've had a lot of dealings with authorities and not being on the good side of that, so I knew a lot of people, good or bad, it doesn't matter, but I knew a lot of people, health professionals, and what, even, you know, being from both sides of the coin, I seen that there was something that was missing, and that was a relationship between, you know, members of 12-step fellowships and health professionals, and there was like a really, really big gap. And AA, as a rule, is pretty well known, and you see it in TVs, movies, you know, The Simpsons had stuff about the 12 steps, AA 12 steps. There was just a big gap. So, I won't speak too much about AA, but my experience is that I held a public information, meeting in Bathurst. And I invited, correctional facilities officers, doctors, psychologists, nurses from the jails, the mayor, politicians, and I believe everything's, you know, divinely inspired by God, and if it's meant to happen, it'll happen. And I went to the chamber magistrate at the Bathurst courthouse, and I said, I'm really new to doing this, I'm a bit nervous, I've never spoken to a, you know, chamber magistrate, you know, on a one-to-one basis. I sort of met many over the desk, if you like. But he said something to me that I'll never forget. And he said, when you have this public information meeting, if you help one person, you've done your job. So that's what I feel is my job, to help one person. So, you know, I've always had big ideas and wanted to save the world, and all these things. But when he put that in that perspective, it changed everything for me. So we had a really successful public information meeting, and we asked a couple of the older sober members from the area to speak, and it was really, really successful. And you can't gauge success by what you see. Success happens by what you can't see. And the success is just talking with these people. And you're passing on the message just by having conversations. So anyway, it's a big part of what I've always wanted to do. I love talking to health professionals. I found it in my experience that they are people that really want to know about us, really want to understand what we're doing, and they're really excited because they're in that field because they want to help people. So they want to help those people the best way they can, and AA has a great record. SA, where I'm from, is only new, so it's about 30 years old in Australia, and in Australia, sex addiction is connected with pedophilia, and there's been a massive big sex scandal there with the church, and so we're very, the Australian perspective of sex addiction is very conservative. We've been hiding our addiction for a long, long time there. To bring it to an SA framework, I've been in Newcastle in Australia for a couple of years, and after our first year, we held a public information meeting. We invited Dave T to come to Australia. He went to South Korea, Singapore, and we invited him to speak at our public information meeting because at the time there was no one willing to, stand up in Australia and say, I'm a sexaholic. And I was a little bit scared back then as well. So Dave came over. And what I want to tell you is that when we sent the invitation packages, because I've had experience that not a lot of people turn up, so my strategy was is to get as much information as possible in the invitations. So I had, the healthcare professionals SA pamphlet, had the meeting address, and a few other things. So I sent out 152 invitations. Two people turned up, like going back to the chamber magistrate, one guy was a suffering sexaholic and the other guy was a priest, and the priest had brought him along to get him some help. It was really successful, and that priest still now refers people to us, and we have a really good working relationship with him. 152 invitations, two people turned up. I'm not the type of person that sort of gives up. I don't give up. I wouldn't be sober if I was that type of person. So a couple of months later, I wrote down all the phone numbers, all the addresses of all the people that I'd sent invitations to. And then I started to ring them individually and asked if I could come and see them and talk to them about SA, because there's a lot of misinformation about what we do and what we're about. So I've met every person on the list except, not out of the 152, but, I'm down to about 20 people or something. So I'm just sort of working my way through the list. So I've been able to meet just about everyone on the list. And a lot of the reasons they couldn't turn up was, they're busy. People are just so busy these days. I had one-on-one visits with them people, and, and what I said is I want to build community relationships. I want to, talk to you, you ask us questions, whatever, you see as a problem or anything like that. And out of that has become, we've had some really, really healthy conversations and, broken down barriers and, misinformation. A couple of the difficulties we have with SA in Australia is the SA sobriety definition, because the year before last we passed legislation to allow gay marriage. in our country. So that was a very big topic for discussion. So we got some curveballs there. But, you know, we just said that this is SA's not for everyone, and we're not against whatever happens. We're not connected to anything that happens outside SA. So we have no opinion on gay marriage or anything like that. So that was one of the sticking points. And the other sticking point, particularly with therapists, is this no sex with self. So they have a lot of difficulty understanding why, you know, their patients can't have sex with themselves. So I explained to them that, like a heroin addict, once they have a shot, it does something to them. And then I said to them, once we act out with ourselves, it creates a very powerful drug in us, and it was very deadly. And they went, whoa. And a lot of them went, oh, okay. So that was a really good way of explaining it. So I don't know how much time I've got, and I don't want to talk for too long. But and then we were able to go and speak at the university and all the health professionals. So in our universities in Australia, there's a lot of health professionals, and they were really open to seeing us, and they had us in a big conference room, and they had like 8 people in the room, and yeah, 4 or 5 people on Zoom, so they use Zoom as well. And that was just fantastic. So, you know, and it was those two questions, you know, gay marriage thing and the, you know, sex with self was the real sticking points there. But they were really open to it. Yeah, it was very exciting. So that's, you know, that's that experience there. You know, so being, you know, another things that we've been doing is working with priests, building relationship with priests, and the statistics say that, you know, they're pretty high, that most sexaholics come from faith-based religions. You know, I've done a lot of research, and you can get a lot of information and strategy from when you do research about where we are and where we are with health professionals in different areas. And for me, if I have, if I do the research, I'm more, equipped to deal with the people that I'm dealing with. So, you know, a bit of research, a bit of education, self-education, things like that. It's all about strategy, being friendly, you know, being able to talk to them on a human level. You know, we're all humans. And one point that I forgot to mention is that I had a guy came to SA, and he was relatively new, and he had a few months of sobriety, and he said, "Can I come with you to one of the, you know, talks with the counselor?" And I brought him along, and I highly suggest to bring someone with a few months with you to these conversations. Because one of the people that I took him to, she was just blown away, and she's just like, wow, and it was really good for him too, you know, and it was just a, you know, really great conversation. And, you know, it's, you know, and the thing too, because he was an older guy, and the therapist was an older woman. So if you can pick people sort of that can relate to the people as well. So they had a really good connection. It really pumped up his recovery. So it was really, really good for his recovery. And, yeah, so there's all that. So we're doing lots of exciting, we just started doing a lot of exciting stuff in, we have a, initiative, me and Jim organized, to carry the message to, church, all church denominations. We have, we're going to be calling out to GDA, intergroups, regions to be a part of that effort. And that's based on effort by EMA to carry the message to the Catholic Church. So I think Jim was looking at me because my time's sort of up. So I'm really excited. And you don't have to be, you know, someone that's outwardly confident or anything like that to be involved in this. You know, there's everyone's got a speciality. Everyone's got a God-given skill. Yeah, so, you know, I've just received so many rewards from this. and it's helped my recovery so much. And for me, it's just like, you know, trying to make up for the damage that I caused. And if I can help other people, you know, I'm actually helping the whole community. So, yeah, thanks for the time, Jim.
Thank you, Jason. I have asked Gene, Dennis, Paul, and Stephanie to be prepared to speak for a minute or five about how H&I functions in their area. And so y'all are on. Who wants to come? And then we'll have questions after these presentations.
Hi, I'm Dennis, Grateful Recovering Sexaholic in Alaska.
Dennis.
Yeah, we don't have an H&I in our area yet, and that's why when I read through all of the meetings or all of the different categories, I just fell in love with it. I personally have four or five pastors at different churches that I have went and introduced myself, and my own pastor, even when I went to a new church, second meeting there, I took him aside and I said, hey, I'm part of Sexaholics Anonymous, and this is kind of, you know, we're talking about the freedom, and he had heard of SA, so he was really happy and also has sent people our way. We have several counselors in town that are sexaholics counselors that have our numbers, my sponsor's number. In fact, that's how I found my sponsor and SA. So I'm excited to, like what Jason said, is maybe start getting a list together. And, you know, there's a couple of other churches where I've talked to their pastors and let them know, you know, a little bit of my story and that we're out there for them. And we do get referrals from that. And so I'm not afraid for my anonymity part that you talked about. People at my work know I'm a sexaholic. And I'm not afraid to tell people that. And I'm going to be retiring in April, so I'm going to have a lot more time to put towards. And I'm really excited about it, and I like the idea of bringing somebody that's on fire. You know, the new guys are just so grateful to be free from the horrific part of this disease. That's a great idea. So that's why I'm here, to help build our H&I in Alaska, because we don't really have too much of that yet. So that's what I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Dennis. And Dennis brought up a good point. I mean, you know, I've handed out these protocols for you to form a committee and have a panel and do all this stuff step by step. And it's very, you know, particular, and it tells you what to say and what not to say and what time to get there. I mean, it tells you everything you want to know, and that's all fine and good. But if you've got a one-on-one relationship with a pastor or a doctor or a therapist, I mean, you're all the H&I committee you need. You just need to go and say, listen here, here's my phone number. If you have somebody, you have them call me. I mean, that is H&I at the basic level right there. Who else wants to come and talk?
I'm Paul, sexaholic.
Hey, Paul.
From Atlanta. And so in May, we ran a meeting, H&I meeting, where we had invited health professionals, both doctors and people from the churches. And I will say that our experience is that mass mailings, you just don't get much response from that. So what we tried in May, and we got 8 professionals came to our meeting, which is big because I've come to these convention meetings and we were lucky we have 1 or 2. What we did was we took the approach that Jason was talking about and Dennis too, that we said, if you're dealing with a professional, if you're going to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, tell them about it and say, "Will you come with me to the meeting?" And that was that worked very well for us to bring their psychiatrist there. Because part of the problem is, you know, they're billing out at $250 an hour. And the question is, you know, do I really want to take this time to leave my office and come to your meeting? And the thing that Jason did mention is you do get resistance about the sobriety definition. And you have that barrier to overcome. And as Jason mentioned, it is good to say that's what we are. We're not making judgment on anyone else, but that's what we are. That's a good way to overcome it. But there can be resistance. The way that I've seen these meetings run is, it's usually run on an SA-SNON basis. So we get a half an hour and SNON gets a half an hour. And that's what we did in Atlanta in May. And there's a video that we have. There's a video for SA and there's a video for SNON and SATine. And after the video, first of all, we have an introduction and then the video. And then we have a testimonial from, on our side, the SA person, and on the SNON side, from the SNON and SATine. And then we'll have a testimonial from a professional that's been helpful. And I really like the idea, Jim mentioned about Zoom, and I think that's great because I think that would pull more professionals in that say, "Yeah, I don't want to leave the office, but hey, I can dial in and sort of listen, and I'm okay with doing that. I will do that." The other thing is to sort of overcome and say to the professionals, particularly the psychologists, we're not competing with you. You know, you're doing your thing. You're digging into their background and their history. We're not competing with you. We're sort of the after cure. You see them once a week or two or three times a month. But they can come to us every day or every other day, and they can sort of talk. And we're not competing with you. We're an ancillary service to you. So it's good to, so that they don't get uptight about all this. The other thing that was, I think somebody mentioned this, but I know it's very true, and I do it. I'm not real worried about my confidentiality. Is to carry, I always carry with me five or six brochures on what is SA, the little pamphlets they're out, and you can get them out in the hall. And I hand them to my doctor. I hand them to my minister. I say, you know, this is something that if you have a patient that's having an issue, a sexual issue of whatever kind, here is an organization that can address that. And if that works, great. You know, and they say, "Oh, thank you very much," you know, and they put it in their in basket. But that is a way of sort of spreading the message. And you don't really have to be, if you want to save your confidentiality, you can do that because you can say, "Well, a friend gave this to me," or whatever. But I think as Jason mentioned, the personal touch is really very important. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Bob. Stephanie, would you like to share?
And I have cards and pens up here for any of you that want to write questions, but think we'll be able to take it from the floor. I'll just repeat the question if you have one, and so it'll be recorded.
Stephanie, gratefully recovering sexaholic.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hospitals and institutions had also been somewhat dormant in our area as well for a while. In the past, my understanding was that our area would get a few calls from mental health professionals who were seeking more information about SA. So they were reaching out to us, which was nice. And we would hold some individual panels. And so this was many years ago before I was in the program. And when I got into the program in early 2017, a couple months in, we received a call from a hospital. And they had wanted some information. So again, that was kind of the first, you know, that was what got things started again in our area, was that initial phone call. And so that panel was set up by Michael M. And somebody, you know, asked me to just to go as an observer. And I thought, okay, so I'm just kind of showing up to be moral support. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, I can do that. You know, that sounds easy. So it was me and three other members, and so we're sitting there a couple minutes before the panel, and somebody just, you know, the gentleman who is going to be our contact person comes up, and somebody kind of asks, like, you know, from our panel, like, you know, what are kind of the demographics of the audience? We're just trying to get a sense of things. And he said, about 28 women, maybe one or two men. So everybody looks at me, and I was like, I'm going to have to speak, aren't I? And, you know, but I just had really fallen in love with SA from the beginning as soon as I got into the program. And so, we all ended up speaking, and, the nursing students were, you know, they're really attentive. It was basically a graduate class. And so they wanted to know more about SA as perspective, you know, if they had any prospective patients who might be able to benefit from the information. And when I just told my story, you know, they all looked open, but also some of them looked a little bit nervous. And I was just glowing because I was on the pink cloud, you know, of recovery. And I'm just like, and by the end, they were all just like that too. And I walked out of there just like, I love this work. I just love it. And, so then after that, Michael, M was able to set up another panel in Pasadena, Salvation Army. And that ended up being huge for us, was the Salvation Army locations. And so, that panel was, it was really great. And they wanted us to return every month. So that became a thing where we didn't have to do the outreach for that particularly. It just was always set up. And then some more panels started getting set up and a committee got formed at that point. And for a while, things got really busy because again of the Salvation Armies, because there were other locations. So we're like, okay, we have an inn here, because what you have at Salvation Army is, drug and alcohol, users who are, going into, you know, a place to stay, and they know the 12 steps already. They're already familiar. So when we have a panel, we just, you know, we open with a prayer, the Serenity Prayer. We do a couple of opening readings. About three people will share their experience, strength, and hope for 10 minutes. Actually, maybe sometimes focusing a little bit more on the problem than the solution in that case, just because they're looking to see if the audience identifies, you know, with what the problem is, because they don't know if they have the problem. Mm-hmm. And then we have a Q&A session at the end. And so, so we just explain that, you know, we use the same 12 steps and the same 12 traditions all of you are using. We just substitute that word alcohol for lust, and that's it. And that's been really helpful. And sometimes we'll get a question in the audience like, you know, if I use meth and then I am, you know, acting out to porn for 8 hours for a few days in a row, do I have a problem? And we just say, we can't tell you, you know, but here's the 20 questions. And so we'll go over it together. And, it's just, I feel so connected to the group, when I'm able to, you know, be on these panels and to participate. So, Somebody else got a sober living house panel set up on a monthly basis. And then I went into the Long Beach Salvation Army and got that one started on a monthly basis. And that one was huge. It was like a couple dozen people, which was a lot for Salvation Army. And the first one, I was just almost crying afterwards. You know, I got so much out of that Long Beach panel that we held. And I talked to my sponsor, like, you know, why was this one just so intense for me? And she said, you know, you're from Long Beach, and it's like you're doing an amends to your city, you know? And that really, really spoke to me. And since then, the Pasadena one is still up and running to this day. And it's a small one, but, you know, I went back after being away for a while, and it used to be like there was an audience, you know, and a lot of times the audience members would be new and things like that. But now it's like smaller, and there's people who are returning, and it's more like an SA meeting now instead of an H&I panel. It's become basically the audience members are saying, you know, I'm so-and-so, I'm a sexaholic, they have white books, and it's just amazing because they don't have any other SA meetings at the Salvation Army there. Things have slowed down recently. We've been learning more about how to speak to different audiences. So, of course, with the sober living house, that was registered sex offenders, and so the issue there was that they're coming from a culture of we don't talk about our sex addiction; it's not safe, and so that one was really tough to keep going because there was so much fear there, which was very understandable. We're also learning, you know, with the Salvation Army panels that there's, sharing in a general fashion can be more helpful to them because they're just coming off of drugs and alcohol. So they're already pretty raw, you know, when we're speaking to them. And if we get too specific, sometimes that can be triggering. So we're learning about that. Whereas, you know, if we're talking to mental health professionals, maybe in a general sense, it's more like they're just taking in information. It might be more likely to be that kind of experience. So currently our committee is, you know, kind of going back to cold calls and, you know, the tried and true ways. Some of our members are looking into, reaching out to psychologists and therapists. Some of our members are, actually one of them is exploring Planned Parenthood, which is kind of interesting because they do have some, maybe potential differences from us, but yet, you know, we're just exploring all avenues. Some are, you know, I'm looking into rehab centers, other rehab centers. And then we're also trying to get a panel together for therapists for our regional conference in Ontario. So anyway, it's just been a really great experience. It's really helped me to stay sober. And I really see a lot of light bulbs going off at the panels where people are kind of recognizing, you know, there could be a cross addiction there, you know, because they're relating to what we're saying. So it's just been a blessing. So that's all I got. Thank you.
I appreciate that, Stephanie. Next, we're going to have Jean. You know, Stephanie did mention something, and I'm a very selfish person. And as much as I love H&I, I do it because I stay sober doing it. It's about me.
I can relate to that. I'm Gene. I'm a sexaholic.
Hey, Gene.
I was elected to the Board of Trustees in 2015, and I came to do the work that we had to do this. So that I could choose particular committees that I would like to work with, and H&I was my first choice. And they told me at the time, well, that's a dead committee. It's not doing anything. It doesn't have a chairperson. It's, you know, it needs reviving, whatever we can do. And so that's what I've been doing since then, and it just like Jim said, it's helped keep me sober. And I love this kind of, I met my wife in a hospital. We were both working in the hospital, I've worked as a chaplain and an alcohol and drug abuse counselor in hospitals. Feel real comfortable in hospitals and institutions myself. My son's a doctor. He works in a hospital. My daughter's a nurse. My wife's a pharmacist. And gosh, I'm surrounded with this kind of stuff. And I'm comfortable here, but you know, I'm not real comfortable with going out in the public and speaking and organizing meetings. I haven't done that. I'm sorry, I haven't done that. In the years I've been working, we focus so much on having the professionals' meetings at our conventions, and we spend a lot of time and energy into that. And we only kind of recently realized that's pretty much a waste of time. Because it is mass mailings and callings and trying to get them out of their office into our place at a convention, and they have to pay for parking and they have to get there and all this stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff, problems with it. And it's just not very good resource of our time and energy, what we've done. I'm kind of ashamed. I haven't done any more with this in my local area. I'm in an area, Dallas, Fort Worth area, that's just overwhelming with this kind of work. And this is to me, this is the cutting edge of SA. This is where we belong. We belong in institutions and hospitals and places that are meeting the very sick people of our culture and trying to help them. And we help. Our you know, the professionals get them and deal with them, but they're going to send them to us. You know, we're the ongoing nurturing, recovery, a part of the unit of a part of our world. And, we're very much a help to helping professionals. And, some of them have their own personal choices of what, you know, organizations to use for 12-step help and support. Anyway, you know, y'all know all of that. I'm just very proud and happy to work with H&I and continue to work. I've also had a CFC committee. I've worked with them a lot, and some other committees, and working with our local intergroups and our region and stuff like that. So anyway, I'm proud and glad to help out with what we're doing. And thank you, Jim, for taking over as chair of this committee.
But you mentioned areas where you're active, and the SIM. That's you're a SIM. You're the king of the SIM, aren't you?
Well, I'm chair of it. I'm not king. I ain't no king of nothing. But I can load the dishwasher. I did recruit Carl, who's been the chair of this until just this year, and he's done a great job, and we work together a lot. It takes leadership. It takes, and thank all you all inspired me today and given me ideas for stuff I can do. I know we get a lot of referrals in our local meetings from professionals in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There are a lot of therapists in our area, and they refer to us. They know who we are. They don't need our description of who we are. They know who we are. And they use us, you know, and the person who fits our particular fellowship, they refer them to us, and we get them, and we do the best we can with who comes to us. So they know we're out there, and I thank them for it every once in a while. I try to reach out to the therapist and thank them for that kind of support and that kind of referral that they're using with us. Anyway, I'm just a beginner at this, so thank you. I'm Gene Sexholic.
Thanks, Gene.
You know, a couple of points have been brought up that I hadn't thought about before. Who said Salvation Army? Was that you? Salvation Army in Memphis is it's a great organization, and that's somebody that I'm going to reach out to soon is to call and get an appointment with the director or whoever is the
in charge and see if we can't bring a meeting to them, and maybe even on a regular basis. I mean, and that's a great idea. And like Gene said, for the past four, I got on in 2015 also. And for the past 4 years, I mean, we spend so much time working, trying to have an H&I meeting at a convention city, you know, in Denver, Chicago, San Diego, St. Louis, Newark, every place we've been in the last 4 years. And our, you know, our bang for our buck is not very good. I mean, we spent about $1,000 in Denver, and we had one therapist show up. I mean, we had this buffet breakfast, and all of us were talking, and we were so excited, and we'd made 800 phone calls, and we had one person show up. And so, and I think in San Diego was one of our biggest turnouts, and we had about 11. And so we're focusing less on that. But so I had dinner. God had me sit at dinner with the two chair people from Toronto, and I was talking about H&I and how we usually have an H&I meeting, or we have in the past many times. And they said, we would love for you to have an H&I meeting in Toronto on the Thursday night before the thing, because we have two mental health professionals in our midst, and they know everybody in town, and they can call and get the guys there. And I said, we'll be there. You know, if Toronto can do the work and get the people there, we're going to sure show up with our song and dance. And Gene will be there. I don't know who will be. Jason will be there. I don't know who will be in Toronto, but so we're going to do that. That's something that we're going to do in the next 4 months, is plan on Toronto. But I want to focus more. Since I've become chairman, one of my goals is to focus more on the regions and the intergroups and the meetings to get H&I, you know, to spread the word about H&I throughout us. I want to focus on the recovered sexaholics to be able to spread the word and build more H&I committees throughout. And that's going to be one of our main focuses. All right. So I have one question here. This is an idea to reach more churches. Visit local headquarters of denominations and make appointments with the president or bishop and ask to be invited to their pastor's meeting. Ask your pastors to introduce you to the respective leader over all the churches in the area. Yeah. I mean, churches are something that we hadn't focused a whole lot on, but Jason has a real passion about churches and he's going to be doing that and helping lead us to reach out to the churches. But, absolutely. Again, though, I mean, so I'm in this small town and fortunately, I'm a 70-year-old retired guy, and if people find out I'm a sexaholic, you know, it's not going to hurt my business because I'm done. It's not going to hurt. I don't care about anything. I mean, you know, it's okay. It's okay. The deal is with me is they probably knew when I was acting out sexually, so they ought to be glad to know that I'm recovering.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
So I'd like to talk to the person who wrote this note after the meeting. So there's a EMA started a group for carrying the message to the Catholic Church, and they've been really, really successful, and they've done a lot of amazing work. And one of the representatives of that committee actually met the Pope. And gave the Pope some information about Sexaholics Anonymous. So they've been doing a lot of great work, and a lot of the things that have been said here, they've actually been doing. So love to talk to you after after this. I won't be here for long because I've got to go, but love to get your phone number or whatever and connect with you wherever you are. So like I said... you know, the research says that, you know, close to 9 out of 10 sexaholics have religious faith backgrounds, so it's a huge area.
for carrying the message. And just forgot your name, sir. Paul? Yeah. With the psychologists and stuff, the newcomer that I brought along to the meeting with the psychologist, he actually said something that's really fantastic, and he said, we're a free aftercare service. And they really love that, because and especially the people that have to pay all the money, when you say we have a free aftercare service, they get quite excited about it. So, you know, so if you can use that line, you know, when, like you were saying, we're not there to compete with you, there to take care of your clients after that, you know, because a lot of people, they go to these things, they run out of money, and where do they go? So we say we're the guys that can help your clients, because we're really free. So that's really exciting, especially, I don't know, like someone said $200 of something. Someone was saying last night it's quite expensive. In Australia it's about $140 an hour, so that's like a couple hundred bucks. So, yeah, so that way, and I think that just on the point about the newcomer, you just don't know where the wisdom's going to come from, and to be open to hearing where it comes from, because God just, like Steve S. said yesterday, just delivers. We just have to be doing the work, and God just keeps turning up for us. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks. I've got a couple more questions, and then we're going to have to stop. But Carlton asked... made a comment that Seiko has two PSAs. Has anybody used these? And so if you got one of these copies of these handouts, word for word is one of the PSAs. And yes, we do use those PSAs. We carry a little film thing, and we show those PSAs, but they're also in this text right here. And then this other one. What was the, and I'll, anybody else that wants to respond to this is okay too, because this is a pretty hard question. What was the hardest question asked, and how did you respond? So for me, my story has to do with multiple affairs. And somebody at one of these meetings said, how could you break your marital vows and bring yourself to having an affair? And so what's the answer to that? I'm sick. It was wrong. I knew it was wrong. But once my sex addiction got activated, I was out of control. It wasn't me. It was that sick person. I am a good person that did a lot of bad things. I am not those bad things. And it took therapy, and it took time, and it took consequences, and it took my wife looking at me straight in the eyes and saying, I'm staying with you, but if you ever do anything at all again, I'm out of here. And to see her eyes, I mean, you know, it's just like, I'll never forget that, the look on her face when she told me that, you know, one more time, there's no more chances, you know. And I have come to believe, and I heard somebody say it this week, and something that I'm holding on to. This woman she's not my, to me, she's not my wife so much as she is my life partner. And this is my best friend who's going to be with me. You know, I'm older, so I'll probably be gone before she does. She's going to be with me through sickness, and she's my life partner, and I'm not going to let her down. I'm not going to do that. That's all I got. It's 10:15, so we need to stop. Anything you've heard at this meeting is strictly the opinion of the individual participant. The principles of the essay are found in our 12 steps and 12 traditions. Let's close with a third step prayer.
God, I offer myself to thee, to build Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, may I do thy will always.
Keep coming back as it works if you work it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Glad you're here. Glad you can help.
I'm talking about simple things like
when I want to organize a meeting. You know, Carl would send out some kind of a deal where we would pick two or three different dates, and they would collate them, and they would send the answers back to him. Can you help me with do stuff like that?
I don't know.
I don't know if it's necessary, but I'm kind of a simple guy. I'm going to probably say, you know what, we're going to meet on this date, this date, or this date. Y'all let me know what I'm going to choose.
I heard that you spent a lot of time in San Francisco, and there was a lot of other professionals who reached out to us, and the main motive of communicating was through video chat, you know, and like, because for professionals, like, they can't really, like, get to a place or something, because, you know, we're constantly dealing with so many contractors that there's no way to bodies to show up and present that the motive video video calling has.
I would like to thank you for listening to this episode of The Daily Reprieve, the best source for experience, strength, and hope for SA members. Please subscribe to this podcast to be alerted of new episodes. Please show your support by donating to The Daily Reprieve by going to donate.thedailyreprieve.com and choosing either monthly donations or a one-time donation by clicking Donate Now. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Daily Reprieve.